Grace, mercy, and peace be yours today from God our Father, and from our resurrected and living Savior Jesus. Amen. Hey, good morning, St. Luke's. And greeting to all of our first-time friends with us today, any of our regular guests. My name is Pastor Dan, and it's awesome to be with you together as the people of God, digging into his word about really what it means for us to be the people of God. And we're looking at Paul's letter to the Ephesians for that. And if you weren't here last week, or if you were and forgot, I just want to encourage us again and remind us, let's be in God's word this week. Let's be a people of God grounded and rooted in and feeding on the living word of God. And so if you want to read Ephesians, the whole book, every day, it takes about 20 minutes. If you want to read a chapter a day, that's great. If you want to download the podcast and listen to it while you drive or run, that's awesome. Next week, when we shake hands, I'm going to ask you again how you did. So if it's just to save face with your neighbor, that's a good reason as any. So I'm still relatively new to this church, but I've been around the church for a while now, and I've observed something in my time at the church. I've learned that there are some words you just don't say at church. You might have your own list. There are some words you do say at church. I mean, you come to church, we hear Jesus and grace and forgiveness, and those are good, safe words. Those are church words. Those are words that you would expect to hear and say at church. But there are some words you don't say at church. And if you're ever around when someone does say one of those words, it might get a little uncomfortable. They didn't know. There are some words you don't say at church. Well, this morning, I actually want to talk about one of those uncomfortable words. This morning, I want to talk about a word that you don't say at church, predestination. Some of you, like, tensed up when I said it already. Predestination. That's a word you don't really say at church, and some of you are thinking, can Lutherans talk about that? Can I make a break for the door? Will he see me? I will see you. So just stay right there. Some of you are kind of like recoiling. I'm going to say it again. Predestination, right? Whoa, is he allowed to do that? He's only been here like 3 weeks. It's too soon. Predestination is one of those words you just don't say at church. You don't talk about that. And yet, if you read Ephesians at all this week, it's there. It's right there at the very beginning. It's like the foundation of chapter one. It's in God's word, and we're a people in the word. And so this morning, we're going to talk about it. We're going to dig in. We're going to wrestle with it. It's just one message, though, so we're not going to solve it. We're not going to be able to say everything that could and eventually should be said about predestination. You're gonna leave with questions unanswered. Just telling you up front. So if you leave going, yeah, but what about, doesn't necessarily mean I've failed. You're going to leave with unanswered questions, and the conversation might spill out into the corridor. You might be talking about it on the way home. You might have a conversation at work this week or at the dinner table tomorrow. That's okay. We're not going to solve it all today. We're going to begin a conversation. And since predestination is something that we never seem to talk about, we have to start somewhere. And I figured, since it seems like a bad word, I wonder when it might be a good word. And so that's our question this morning. When is predestination a good word? When is predestination a good word? And depending on who you ask, you get different answers. One answer you might hear is never. When is predestination a good word? Never, because that must mean that God chooses certain people to go to hell. And so it's never a good word. So imagine you've been reading the Bible, maybe Ephesians, and you've come across an encouraging word like chapter 1, and it says in Ephesians chapter 1 that he chose you before the foundation of the world. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons in Jesus Christ, and you think, that's a good word. It's right up there with love and Jesus, and those are good church words. We know those are good words. And you're so encouraged by this word of God that you can't help but talk about it. And so you're talking to a friend or a coworker, and you say, you know, I've been in my Bible and at church, and man, predestination, that's just a good thing. And your friend says, that's the worst thing I've heard all day. And you say, well, what do you mean? And your friend says, well, don't you believe that there's a hell? And you say, yeah. And your friend says, and you believe that people who aren't saved go to hell? And you say, yeah. And your friend says, predestination means that God is choosing some people to go to heaven, right? Yeah. So therefore, logically, it means that your God must also be choosing people to go to hell. And you say, I see what you mean. That makes sense. And it does, doesn't it? I mean, it makes sense. If God is choosing people for heaven, then it seems like he must be choosing people for hell. If heaven and hell are real, and people are going to be in both for eternity, and God is choosing people to go to heaven, then it seems like the Bible must be saying, seems like the Bible says that God must also choose people for hell. It seems like the Bible says that, and yet the Bible doesn't say that. And so if you're a note-taking person, here's something to jot down. By the way, you don't have to take notes ever, but we're here to wrestle with and engage God's word, and hopefully that's more than 20 minutes one day a week. So anyway, do what you want to do. First thing you might consider jotting down is this. We are careful to speak where Scripture speaks and not go beyond that. We are careful to speak where Scripture speaks and not go beyond that. Scripture says that God chooses people for eternity to experience life and salvation. And when anyone has faith, they've been chosen by God. That's what Scripture says. And so that's what we say. That's what we believe. But the Bible never says that God chooses people for hell. The Bible never says that God elects people and then predestines people for eternal wrath and hell. It doesn't say that. And so we don't say that. And we don't believe that. We are careful to speak where Scripture speaks, and not go beyond that, as tempting as it could be sometimes. And so if we're gonna speak where Scripture speaks, if we're gonna say and believe what the Bible says, then we have to know what the Bible says. We have to know what Scripture says. So here's a couple verses you might jot down. 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says this: God desires for all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2. God desires for all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's what the Bible says. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 says that God is patient toward you, not wanting any to perish, but that all should reach repentance. God is patient towards you, not wanting anyone to perish, but that all should reach repentance. And you know John 3:16, right? For God so loved a small percentage of the people that the very select elite who believe in him should not. No. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The clear and consistent message of Scripture is that God desires all people to be saved in Christ Jesus. He has a good and gracious plan for all people. The Bible never once says that God doesn't like certain people, that he sends them to hell or predestines them for punishment. It doesn't say that, and so we don't say that. So we are careful to speak where Scripture speaks and to not go beyond that. So when is predestination a good word? Some people say never, because it must mean that God predestines people for hell, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that God wants life. And so we're careful to speak where Scripture speaks and not go beyond that. So when is predestination a good word? Well, another answer you might hear is that predestination is a good word when I'm living my life how I want to live my life, because who cares? I'm predestined. It's too much to write. You get the idea. Maybe predestination is this carte blanche, this kind of get-out-of-jail-free card that you get to do whatever the heck you want. Maybe predestination is a good word when I'm living my life however I'm going to live my life, because who cares? I'm predestined. So imagine you're reading your Bible. Maybe Ephesians. You come across an encouraging word, like in chapter 1, where it says that he chose us before the foundation of the world. In love, he predestined you for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. And you think, that's a good word. Love and Jesus, predestined, it's all good. And you're overcome with excitement about this living word of God. And so you share it with a friend or family member or coworker, and you say, man, this predestination, this is good stuff. And your friend says, that's the best news I've heard all day. And you're thinking, that's not quite the response I was expecting. Well, what do you mean? And your friend says, if predestination, if that's true, I never have to go to church again. And you say, I'm not sure I follow. And your friend says, well, don't you believe that doesn't your church teach that baptism saves? And you say, yeah, baptism connects you to Jesus. And your friend says, well, I'm baptized. And you say, sweet. And your friend says, yeah, my grandma was on this kick when I was a little baby and made my mom do it, and I got baptized, and so I'm baptized, I'm predestined, I never have to go to church again. I'm free. No more guilt. No more fear. I can drink as much as I want. I can sleep with whomever I want. I can say what I want about anybody. Who cares? I'm predestined. And you think, well, I see what you mean. That makes sense. Doesn't seem right. And it does, right? I mean, it makes sense. If God has chosen me apart from my works, good or bad, to be an eternal child of God, then it almost sounds like the Bible is saying I'm free to sin. But just as we are careful to speak where Scripture speaks and not go beyond that, so also we look for Scripture to help interpret Scripture. We look for Scripture to help interpret Scripture, which means we don't excise like a single word from the text. We don't look at a few words and a phrase or a single verse out of context and kind of run with it any direction we might want to. We look for Scripture to help interpret Scripture. So even within Ephesians chapter 1, when Paul talks about predestination, right after that in verse 7, it says that in him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness for our trespasses. He's saying that our trespasses, our crossing the line trespass, when we cross the boundary of God's good will for our lives, our trespasses are so serious, it cost Jesus his spilled blood. Our trespasses, our sin is no small thing. It's not a flippant thing to be taken lightly, it's grave. It sent Jesus to the grave. See, we look for Scripture to help interpret Scripture. We go beyond a single word. We look at the sentence and the paragraph in the book and other books by the same author and the rest of this Bible. And so you go to Galatians chapter 5, for example. Paul is talking about the very same thing. We look for Scripture to help interpret Scripture. And so in Galatians 5, Paul says this beautiful word about the freedom that we have. We are free. He says, "For freedom Christ has set you free." That sounds good. So I can do whatever I want? It says, "For freedom Christ has set you free. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." I don't know if you're familiar with that section in Galatians 5. It's beautiful and yet confusing because Paul says you're free, so you get to be a servant. I think we got a different definition here. He says you're free so you can serve. And I've wrestled with that. And here's what I think Paul is saying. Apart from God's grace given to us freely in Jesus that creates a right standing with God, apart from that grace of God, you and I have this big burden of kind of having to rack up enough points to get in God's good graces. You know, apart from God's gift of grace, we sort of feel like we have to earn it. And so in order to impress God, I use my neighbor. I'll love Steve and be nice to Steve, and then maybe God will like me. And if I can be a good enough neighbor to Steve, then God has to let me in. And so I'm using Steve. And I'm manipulating this relationship, and I'm treating him as a means and an object and some way that I can get something else that I want. God's favor. But if I already have God's favor, I can just love Steve as my brother. I don't have to use him for anything. I'm just free to love him as a friend. For freedom, Christ has set you free. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Romans chapter 6, it deals with the same thing. We're looking for Scripture to help interpret Scripture. The book of Romans begins by outlining several chapters convicting us of sin and brokenness. It says the whole world is sinful. No one is righteous. And no one seeks after God. No one is good enough. That's the first few chapters. And then Romans has a few chapters to say, nevertheless, God's grace in Jesus is so good and so wonderful and so free that it's for everyone. Jesus died to reconcile the whole world to himself, and you can't out-sin God's love. And then in Romans 6, Paul goes right where my head goes. Because the way I'm looking at this, the more I sin, the more God forgives. So the worse I get, the better he looks. So if I live life in the gutter and he forgives me, he looks really gracious. I can work with this. But in Romans chapter 6, Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. You died to sin. How can you live in it any longer? Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. As a baptized child of God, you're called to a new life. You're set free from that old life in the gutter." If you read Ephesians at all this week, you saw the stark divide that Paul sets up. There's the old way and the new way. There's darkness and there's light. There's ignorance and there's the knowledge of the truth. We're not set free to sin. We're free from sin. So when is predestination a good word? Some people say never because it must mean that God chooses people for hell, but the Bible doesn't say that. It says that God desires all people to be saved. And so we are careful to speak where Scripture speaks and not go beyond that. Some people say predestination is a good word when I get to do whatever I want because who cares? I'm predestined. But God cares, and we should care because he set us free for life and an abundant life in Jesus. And so we look for Scripture to help interpret Scripture. Now, if I just like sat down right now, that would be really dissatisfying, I suppose. We still have our question. When is predestination a good word? Some of you maybe are new believers. You're new in the faith. And You're excited about a living relationship with Jesus. You're intrigued by what the Bible has to say, and you're in. But maybe you feel this burden of having to prove to God or to His people that you deserve it. Maybe you're a believer, but you still feel this anxiety about having to prove to God or His church that you're worth it. Predestination is a good word whenever grace feels too small. Maybe you've been a believer for a while. You've been walking with the Lord for years and years. Maybe you've been walking with the Lord for decades and decades. And maybe it's not as exciting as it used to be. Maybe it doesn't feel like it once did. And maybe you start to wonder if God's love for you has faded as much as your passion for Him. Predestination is a good word whenever grace feels too small. Or maybe in your walk of faith as a disciple of Jesus, maybe you've been hung up with certain habits, vices. The Bible just calls them sins. And maybe you've made promises to God. You've sworn, you've vowed. Maybe you've shared those with other people in the church. Maybe there's things in your life you know God's been calling you to do and that you should be about, and you've sworn and you've promised and you've made vows to God, and you share those with people, and you meant it. When you made the promise, you meant it. But you're not holding it up. And you've gone through that so many times, and you start to wonder, could God still want a loser like me who can't keep my word? Predestination is a good word whenever grace feels too small. He chose you before the foundation of the world. In love, He predestined you for adoption as a child through Jesus Christ according to His purposes and His will, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. See, predestination, I think, is God's little way of saying grace is even bigger than you thought. And if you're hung up on predestination, chances are you're really just hung up on grace. Because I think predestination is God's little way of saying grace is even bigger than you thought. Grace is even sweeter than you imagined. You see, through God's work in Christ Jesus and as the gospel is proclaimed and creates faith, it is a one-sided rescue. It is an utterly one-sided rescue. We didn't take the first step. We didn't carry it in a little bit. We didn't finish it at the end. It is a one-sided rescue. God saves dead people and makes them alive in Christ whom He raised. It is a one-sided rescue. And the moment you start to look inside, the moment you start to wonder about your part and your contribution, you've moved beyond grace. Grace is even bigger than you imagined. And if God can save a dead sinner like me within my lifetime, well, He can certainly save a dead sinner like me before my lifetime, because it's all His gift anyway. Predestination is a good word when, as a believer in Christ, grace feels too small. It's God's way of saying, I've got this. And you say, yeah, but God, but what about my part? What about where I? No, no, no. It's God's way of saying, I've got this. From beginning to end, I've got you. From the beginning of creation to the end of time, I've got this, God says. And I've got you. He chose you before the foundation of the world. You wonder, are you good enough? Are you doing it right? He chose you before the foundation of the world. Yeah, it doesn't feel like it used to, God. I'm not sure if I really, really love you with a full heart like I used to, or I know I should, or I gave my life to you at camp, and really just because there were girls there, I'm not sure if I meant it. In love, he predestined you to receive adoption as children through Jesus Christ, according to his good will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with whom he has blessed you in the Beloved, to which I say, thanks be to God in Christ Jesus. Amen.